Chapter 4. The flight to CERN was breathtaking, and we spent the first couple of hours being relatively silent since the view was more than enough entertainment. I watched endless fields, mountains, and cities fly by, and the spaceship hummed quietly as we made our way to the Hadron Collider. At first, I had been concerned about the ship being spotted from below. Not necessarily because of regular people who would just get a shock, but there could be government officials watching with enough weapons to blow us out of the sky, and we'd already had enough bullshit over at Hara already. The beautiful alien had once again proven her species' superiority, though, and when I asked her about the issue of visibility, she explained that the ship had mirage panels on the bottom. Apparently, this basically made us invisible to anyone underneath. It would just look like a strange cloud passing over, and the onlookers would have to be trying incredibly hard to notice the shimmer of light at all. Which made me wonder if all the conspiracy theories about aliens visiting our planet might actually have been onto something. I couldn't even count the number of blurry, cloud-like blobs I'd seen images of since I was a kid. Either way, even without any worry of being spotted, Adhara flew so quickly that everything below was slightly blurred, and Leo's ship kept up the pace beside us. The beautiful alien's hands flew expertly over the control panel whenever necessary, and one hand rested on the square steering column as she stared out at the world. The adrenaline had really started to kick in for me, and I tapped my foot as I watched the gorgeous alien pilot her ship. I had no idea what to expect when we arrived, and I could only hope that there was an easy way to access the Hadron Collider. For all we knew, it could be completely abandoned, and I didn't even know if the way inside would be hidden or not. Becca had her eyes closed, and I wasn't sure if she was actually asleep or just resting. Her hands were clasped over her stomach, and blonde hair fell over the side of her face as the ship moved. Haywan was resting as well, and her slow breathing told me that she had definitely taken a little nap. She was probably emotionally exhausted after leaving her family in such dangerous circumstances, and I was happy to let her rest while she had the chance. Kat had her eyes fixed on Adhara, and she sat on the edge of her seat as she watched the alien twist dials and flick levers. The pretty soldier looked adorable as she studied the alien's every move, and I just knew she was dying to leap up and take over flying. "You want a shot?" I grinned, and the curly-haired soldier nodded enthusiastically.
"I miss my Jeep," Kat said.
"I want to drive something cool."
"Ask Quan for one of his cars," I laughed. "If we save the world, I'm sure he'd be happy to lend you one."
"What cars?"
Kat asked with a puzzled expression, and I realized I hadn't even told the girls about the gift. So much had happened in a short span of time that Quan giving me a Porsche hadn't really come up. So, I grinned. "Quan gave me a little wedding gift. He took me down to this secret basement full of sports cars, and I got myself a brand new Porsche Turbo Cabriolet."
"Shut the fuck up,"
Kat said, as she slapped me on the arm.
"He didn't."
"He did," I laughed, and Kat just stared at me with her mouth open.
I want to go a driving it,"
the soldier announced.
"Actually, fuck that. I want my own car. Do you think he would let me have one?"
"If you save the world, then I absolutely think he would," I chuckled.
"Oh my god,"
Kat groaned.
"We need to hurry this mission up. I want to look at the shiny toys."
"Porsche can fly?"
Adhara asked over her shoulder.
"Or maybe be underwater?"
"Afraid not," I admitted with a smirk. "It's just a vehicle that's fast and really fucking gorgeous."
"Not as good as ship, then,"
Adhara decided.
"Do you want to know how to do the flying?"
"Hell yeah," I said as I shot up from my seat. "I want to be able to help out if there's an emergency." Kat stood up so quickly that she stumbled and grabbed my arm to steady herself as we walked over to join Adhara. "Easy, soldier," I laughed. "I haven't seen you this excited since you blew stuff up with a blaster for the first time." Kat nudged me, and I looked down at the vast array of controls. There was no denying that it looked complicated as hell, but if I had a chance to fly an actual alien spaceship, there was no way I was about to turn that down.
"This is how to do direction,"
Adhara said, as she tapped the steering column.
"Like human vehicles, yes?"
"Sure," I nodded. "Steering wheel, or rather, steering square. Got it."
"It only needs tiniest touch,"
Adhara said.
Very sensitive to movement. Then this is how to do fast.
The alien pointed to three black dials on her right.
Like gears?
Kat asked, and Idhara shrugged.
I do not know what is gears,
the alien said.
But this one is for very slow, helpful for landing. This is for medium speed, and this one is for the fastest.
What speed are we at now? I asked as I looked down at the sprawl of houses down below. It was hard to tell exactly how quickly the ship moved, but it was definitely faster than a regular plane.
This is medium,
Edhara said, and I raised an eyebrow. Well, why don't we use the fastest one? I asked. The alien laughed, and her gills fluttered.
Oh, you would have to sit down for me to show this,
Edhara said.
You would fall. It is too fast for going to place you have not been before.
Kat stared down at the final dial, and I knew she was dying to try out the fast mode of the ship. The pretty soldier even inched slightly closer to the dial, but when her gaze flicked to mine, I sent her a stern shake of the head.
Fine,
the corporal muttered.
Next,
Edhara said.
These buttons are for outside lights. You try.
She pointed at a row of dark green buttons, and I pushed one of them down. Because it was daylight, the wide beam of light that came from the front of the craft was only barely visible. I hit another one of the buttons, and the lights in the craft, including the beam outside, suddenly all went off. My stomach dropped for a second as I worried I'd somehow turned the entire system off. But the ship didn't drop out of the air, and Adhara's calm motions reassured me that we were fine.
What's going on?
Becca mumbled.
Why is it dark? Jason hit stealth lights,
Edhara answered.
You press this if you do not want to be noticed.
I mean, we're still in a spaceship,
Kat said.
It's still pretty noticeable.
Some Almaty like the light,
Edhara shrugged.
This helps.
She hit the button again, and the lights immediately turned back on with a gentle pop.
Are we nearly there?
Haewon asked, and I turned to see the Korean beauty curled up on her chair like a cat. We must be, I replied. The trip will be a bit shorter than when we came from England.
Did you know Kwan gave Jason a Porsche?
Kat asked, and Becca went from half asleep to bolt upright with wide eyes.
A Porsche?
The blonde blurted out.
Oh, my God! Jason, you're going to look so fucking hot driving a Porsche!
Convertible, too, I snickered.
Oh, fuck!
Becca sighed.
My panties are so wet right now. We better save the world fast.
My father must really like you,
Haewon chuckled.
I cannot wait until you can drive us all to the beach.
And to brunch,
Becca added excitedly.
Oh, this is the best thing to come out of this whole fucking apocalypse. Apart from all of you, of course. Thanks for remembering us,
Haewon snorted.
Holy shit,
Becca gasped.
Wait, I'm married to a man with a Porsche. We're married to a man with a Porsche. We're fucking badass.
I think we've officially won the game of life.
Haewon giggled.
Shit. You need to see this,
Kat suddenly announced, and she took a step forward as she pointed out of the window. Then I whipped back around to see a flock of flying dinos coming right towards us. They were smaller than all the flying beasts we had encountered so far, but they had sharp beaks with a curl at the end. Their wingspan was about 8 feet, and they looked the same in length. Dark reddish fur shone under the sunlight, and as they got closer, I could see the golden tint in their eyes. I glanced down at Edhara, and she didn't seem concerned as she continued to fly straight ahead.
Is the force field on?
Haewon asked as she got to her feet and hurried over.
They're going to knock into us,
Becca added as she rushed to my side.
Do not be worried,
Edhara replied.
Force field is on. They will fly around.
It felt strange to be looking straight on at a dinosaur and not be holding my weapon ready to fire. As they got closer, it was obvious that they really didn't care about the ship, and they lazily flapped their wings to head around us.
They don't look as scary when they're not trying to kill us,
Becca said as she peered outside. Yeah, I agreed. It's nice to go a few hours without anything trying to eat you. The ship made a beeping sound, and then Leo's voice hummed through the radio. He gave a short message, and Edhara replied with a single growl.
Nearly there,
she said.
Jason, hit the slow dial.
I slowly turned the black control, and the ship smoothly slowed down as we drifted over a mountain range with snow on the peaks. "So how do you actually start the ship?" I asked, and Adhara pointed to two red buttons next to the speed dials.
"This one for engine start,"
she explained.
"The other is to fly when you have chosen speed."
We saw Leo's ship slow down just ahead of us, and he eventually hovered over one spot. I glanced down to see we were over a city, and then I realized what I was actually looking at. The sprawl of large shapes, which I had thought were buildings at first glance, were in fact moving. My mouth fell open as I looked down at the green landscape. It was absolutely crawling with dinosaurs. It looked like the ground itself was moving, and it reminded me of finding an anthill as a kid. Except I couldn't just stand on the dinosaurs to squish them, and they wanted to eat me a lot more than the ants had. "Shit," I muttered, and Becca gasped as her hands flew to her mouth. We took a moment to stare in horror at the scene below, and a chill swept over me as I tried to take in the sheer number of them.
"What the fuck?"
Cat breathed. The curly-haired corporal absent-mindedly gripped her gun, and her hazel eyes were wide as they darted side to side.
"There are so many,"
Haywan said.
"This is not possible to get through."
"Please tell me that's not where the Hadron Collider is," I groaned, and Adhara's silence was all the response I needed.
"Fuck,"
Becca whimpered. Then we hovered in silence as we stared down at the dino-infested landscape. Even if we could land safely, it would be impossible to get out of the ship without being noticed, and we'd never faced off with a herd this massive before. Down below us, I could see a roundabout with a large dome-shaped building to the right. The structure looked like it was made from dark wood, and it had to be about 90 feet tall. It didn't seem to have been knocked into by any dinos so far, so that was good news if this was where our entrance to the Hadron Collider was. Opposite the dome, there was a building complex which had gray walls and tall windows. It seemed that the windows had all been boarded up. Even from up high, I could see there were dark bloodstains on the walls, and if we needed to go into that one, I had a feeling we wouldn't be met with many live scientists.
"Which one do you think is the entrance?"
Cat asked.
"Maybe the cool dome one?"
Haywan suggested.
"It might be a visitor center of some kind. They probably do the tours from there."
"Great,"
Becca said meekly.
"There's only about 300 dinos around it. No problem."
The blonde had her hands on top of her head, and she bit her lip as she eyed the scene below. "We can do this," I said with a strict nod. But I was trying to convince myself as much as anyone else. "We just need to get close enough to the building and wait for the right moment to make our move, same as any other trip we've been on."
"I have never seen so many Omati in one place,"
Adhara said warily.
"Do you think there are people in there?"
Haywan asked.
"Maybe that's why there are so many dinos."
"Maybe," I agreed.
"Or maybe it's because Adhara's people were like, 'Dino army, kill weapon!'"
Becca snorted. "Can we use the thermal scanner to check on the area?" I asked Adhara.
"Yes."
Adhara nodded, and she hit a button on a small screen on the control panel. The screen immediately lit up with hundreds of orange shapes, and she slowly started to move toward the gray building. It was easier to see the types of dinos on the thermal imager, and I wasn't shocked to see there was a huge mix of different species. I recognized some of the shapes, and it looked like there was a full herd of triceratops mixed in with some kind of raptors. There were plenty that I couldn't pinpoint from their silhouettes alone, though, and I hoped I would never have to get close enough to identify them all.
"I'll get us closer to the building for thermal read,"
Adhara decided.
"Too many Omati in the way." "Where are we even going to land?"
Becca asked.
"We'll squish a bunch of dinos."
"Good,"
Cat said.
"Maybe that'll clear a pathway for us."
"They will move,"
Adhara said.
"The Omati can still see ship, even though they cannot touch it."
We started to descend toward the dino-infested ground and closer to the building. And as we got lower, I could hear the many roars and cries from the giant herd. It was unnerving to listen to so many at the same time, and I wondered if there would be anything left of the Hadron Collider workers.
"This feels like the opposite of what we should be doing,"
Kat said as she watched the thermal scanner warily.
"There's no way we'll get inside that base without being seen."
Had a little more to the right, I said as I leaned over the control panel. There's slightly less of them on that side of the building. A few dinosaurs looked up at the ship, but they didn't seem particularly interested in it. I figured they knew it was an alien craft from their home world and wouldn't think it'd have a bunch of humans on board. Adhara guided the craft skillfully, and soon we were low enough to see the base properly. It was a two-story structure and had dark gray walls with several boarded-up windows. It looked like planks of wood had been fitted behind all the glass, and there were bloodstains all over the place. The slanted roof had several missing tiles, and there were some bent satellite antennas that poked up into the sky. As Adhara moved to the right of the building, we passed over the roof, and I watched the thermal scanner more closely. If there were still staff members inside, then maybe they would be able to help us. I didn't know the first thing about accelerating protons, and I had a feeling we would need someone to answer our questions. Heiwan gripped my arm tightly as we flew over the roof, but no human-shaped readings came onto the screen.
Fuck,
Kat muttered as Adhara reached the end of the building.
There's nobody in there.
Let's try the dome-shaped one, I said. Even if there's nobody in there, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Becca nodded furiously.
There must be people in the other one. All those scientist people can't have left, right?
Right, I agreed, and Adhara started to drift the craft across to the dark brown dome. She had to hover slightly higher to move over the curved roof. And as she scanned the first half of the structure, the screen remained black. I put a hand on Becca's shoulder, and Heiwan's grip on my arm tightened. Look, I said as something finally came into the shot, and it looked like two people were sitting inside.
They're moving,
Kat gasped as we stared at the orange silhouettes.
That's something. Oh my god!
Becca shrieked.
There's people inside! People that can make sure it's all working and stuff!
We don't know who they are, I said. Remember, it might not even be people who work here.
That's true.
Becca nodded reluctantly.
It could just be people who took shelter here, but it doesn't look like there's much else around.
I guess we land at the dome then,
Kat said, and Adhara nodded as she sent a message to Leo over the radio. The roars of the surrounding dinosaurs were constant, and although a few of them glanced our way, they didn't seem to have much interest in either of the silver crafts. I was endlessly grateful for the force field, but I wasn't looking forward to stepping out of its protective cover. Adhara gently lowered the ship down onto the ground right in front of the dome, and I could see Leo land a few feet away. The ship stopped softly, as if it was weightless, and the spare seats we had used started to retract into the floor. Heavy footsteps shuddered all around us, and it felt like we were sitting ducks in a whole playground of dinosaurs.
This doesn't feel good,
Heiwan said, as we watched shadows move on the wooden wall of the dome building. Then the spacecraft suddenly shook, and I grabbed hold of the control panel to steady myself. I reached out to hold Heiwan's waist as she stumbled, and I held my new wife as another thud rocked the craft.
What the fuck?
Becca hissed, and a shadow in front of the ship told me that there was something huge behind us, most likely right near the craft's door by my estimate. Adhara, I said carefully as I watched the shadow. Are you absolutely sure they can't tell we're in here?
Yes,
the alien replied. But she frowned at the shadow as we stayed as still as statues.
Force field protect.
I couldn't tell exactly what the dino was, but the shape looked like it was about 15 feet tall and stood on its hind legs, like a T-Rex. It had stopped directly behind us, and the way its head pointed at the sky made me think it was sniffing for something. My palm started to sweat as I clung to Heiwan, and I saw Adhara's hands hover over the red buttons. Then the dinosaur roared, and the sound was deafening, even inside the ship. Becca pressed her hands over her ears, and I shook my head as my eardrums felt like they were about to pop. A similar-sounding roar replied far off in the distance, and the huge shadow suddenly turned. Thunderous footsteps started to walk away from us, and it seemed that whatever the fuck the dino had been, it found a better offer elsewhere. We stayed silent and still for a moment until we were sure it was gone.
Do you think it could smell us?
Kat asked.
No, force field shields the smell,
Adhara insisted. But that same frown was on her pretty face, like she wasn't so sure about this all of a sudden. Well, it looked like it had the scent of something, I said, as I watched the shadow disappear from sight. Let's hope the stench of all these dinos covers up any traces of humans.
There are people in the building,
Haywan said.
Surely, if it could smell that good, it would have gone for them. It's kind of a weird shape,
Becca said as she peered out at the dome.
Maybe it's difficult to get inside?
The outer layer of the dome was made up of wooden planks, and it looked like there was a gap before another metal structure began inside.
I have no doubt dinos could smash through that,
Kat said.
But it looked like those people were pretty deep inside. Maybe their smell isn't close enough to the entrance?
Must be it, I muttered as I leaned on the control panel. Does this mean we actually have some good luck?
That doesn't sound like us,
Becca snorted.
Who bets we go inside and the people are actually just raptors in human costumes? No,
Edhara said seriously.
Omadi do not wear clothes. Once we save the world, I'm giving you sarcasm lessons,
Becca said, and shook her.
You gorgeous alien. Okay.
Edhara knitted her eyebrows together as she flicked a switch.
Well,
Kat said.
I don't hear any dinosaurs that are super close.
Yeah, I agreed. I think the area around the dome is fine. Like we saw, they haven't tried to go inside. It felt like we were all just making excuses to convince ourselves it was safe to go outside. We all knew what had to be done, but it all seemed much more impossible now we had actually landed to find hundreds of dinosaurs as our welcoming party. I looked out at the wooden walls of the building and spotted a doorway just past Leo's ship. It looked like the front entrance of the center, and there was an area right next to it that had clearly been under construction before the world turned to shit. Scaffolding poles laid on the ground and a sheet fitted over part of the wall. The sheet flapped around in the wind, and I could just make out a small area of missing wood which hadn't been fixed. There's an entrance point, I said. Of course, the door will almost certainly be locked, but I reckon Haywan could get through that gap in the wall.
She can't go jumping through little holes in the wall,
Becca protested.
She's got a baby on board.
You do realize soldiers, officers, and a whole slew of professional athletes train just as hard throughout their pregnancies, right?
Kat snorted.
We're talking boxers, runners, gymnasts, dancers, fucking black belts.
She is not any of those things,
the blonde Brit scoffed.
She's a sexy little ninja, and she would be protected, dammit.
I can do it,
Haywan shrugged, and Becca threw up her arms in defeat.
I don't have a belly yet. I can fit, and Kat's right. Women do crazy shit with babies in their bellies. And we fight dinos, Becca. Woman up!
The Korean beauty flicked her ebony hair, and I had no doubt she still had a good few months of ninja-like badassery in her. The sassy look she sent Becca proved she'd make damn sure of it, too, and the blonde Brit smirked a bit like she kind of liked the idea.
Yeah, all right, but just don't land on your stomach, yeah?
Becca said.
Balance and cat-like reflexes from here on out. Deal.
Haywan shook hands with the Brit, and I couldn't help chuckling at the adorable pair. Edhara got to her feet and made her way over to the weapons room as the radio started to crackle. Leo's voice came through, and Edhara had a brief conversation in her deep hums and growls as she opened the weapon room's door.
We will need many weapons,
the alien woman said.
We will take blasters as well as sharp guns.
Good idea, I nodded as I strode over to join her. And she passed me one of the cylindrical weapons and then offered out a sword.
Just in case it is useful,
Edhara suggested, and I smirked as I took the dark green hilt. I clipped the fire sword to my belt, moved my sharp gun to my front, and kept the blaster strap slung over my shoulder. The girls quickly grabbed their share of weapons, too, and we soon looked ready to take down a whole city full of dinos, which was basically what we were up against. God damn it.
So, what's the plan?
Kat asked as she carefully attached a sword to her hip.
We just make a break for the doorway?
We need to be fast, I said. Even if we get Haywan through that gap, that leaves us exposed for a few minutes until she can open the door.
Leo's ship is closest to door,
Edhara said.
If too many Omati come, we go inside there.
Can you ask him to leave the force field off? I asked. If we have to make a run for it, we can't waste time having you guys going inside to turn it off. Edhara nodded and walked over to the receiver of her radio. As she spoke with the other alien, I tried to lean over the control panel to get a better view of our path to the doorway. It looked clear, and the way the sun was shining would cast shadows of any waiting dinos on the wall. "Okay," I said. "When we get out, we run straight over to the cover of the wall. If the door doesn't open, we don't draw any attention by breaking in. Heiwan gets inside and opens the door for us."
"Easy,"
Becca said, and something close by made a horrific howling sound. "Ready?" I asked, and the girls nodded. Then I led the way out of the control room and down toward the exit, hit the button to open the door, and gestured for the girls to stay quiet behind me. Without the haze of the force field, I could feel cool air and a gentle wind, and I couldn't see much other than Leo's ship from where we had landed, and I made sure to check the sky for any potential threats. When I was certain that I couldn't hear any footsteps or wings close by, I quickly stepped outside onto the gray concrete. I did a quick sweep of my surroundings and saw that we were in a parking lot that was surrounded by flat green land and fields. There were a few trees here and there that blocked us from view, but I could already see the shapes of mixed dinos as they moved around in the nearby fields. The air absolutely stank of dino shit and decayed bodies, and I didn't want to think about how many of them could be human. I waved at the girls to follow, and Heiwan leapt out behind me. As the girls exited the craft, I started to lead them past Leo's ship and over to the cover of the building. Leo came out of his craft and joined us, and I noted he had also grabbed multiple weapons from his armory. He nodded silently at me and fell into line as we moved right into the cover of the wooden wall. The door was only a few yards away, and I could see a security camera right above it. I wondered if it still worked, or if it was one of the many things that the dinosaurs had destroyed, but then all of my focus derailed. The sound of an entire stampede of footsteps shook the ground, and my whole body went cold as I raised my sharp gun at the noise. We skidded to a halt against the wall as something enormous raced around the opposite side of the dome-shaped building, and it dove in front of the path to the doorway to barricade the entrance. It looked similar to a triceratops and had two thick, bent horns protruding from its skull. There was a crescent-shaped frill over its head, and a shorter horn right at its nose that looked like it could knock you dead in seconds. The dinosaur was a deep blue color, and its eyes were a murky green as it stared down at us. Even though I knew it had to be an herbivore, that didn't mean shit these days. This hulking bastard would run us down either way. But now we were in a bad situation. If I fired immediately, the dinosaur's death would draw the attention of every beast in the area, and we were still closer to the ships than we were to the door of the building. I took the smallest step back. "Back to the ship," I said as slowly and gently as I could, and my eyes stayed locked with the dinosaur. If the girls got back on board, then all I had to do was get a good shot of the fucker's head and book it before any others realized their herd was under attack. Then we could wait them out until we had another opening to try and enter the building. The dino watched our every move, and I could tell it would charge at any moment. We slowly stepped backward all the same, and I angled my sharp gun at the beast's head as carefully as I could. Then I bumped into the girls behind me. "Keep going," I muttered in a low voice.
"We can't go back,"
Cat hissed. I took my eyes off the dino at the door for less than a second to look over my shoulder, and sweat instantly poured down my neck as I realized the problem. All around Leo and Adhara's ships, there was a whole herd of the bluish-horned dinos, and they had completely blocked us from fleeing. Every one of the beasts stared at us as we stood trapped against the wooden wall. And I could tell from the look in their eyes, they knew they had us cornered.